Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, new customers, when you sign up using promo code DNVR, you can place a $5 bet on any NBA Moneyline game, and boom, you get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you win. That's only with code DNVR and only with DraftKings Sportsbook. I'm your host, Patrick Lyons, and joining me today, the golf bro, my favorite of the two. You're at least in my top two favorite golf bros.
Oh, I appreciate
From Big Drive Energy, Spencer Smith. What's going on, buddy?
What up, dude? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we need some good vibes here after the Rockies dropped to 3-11 here in April. Worst record in the National League. They nearly get no hit. But you know what? We're going to try to focus on maybe some more positive things. Look ahead to Mother's Day and Father's Day. Some gifts, early gifts.
Love that.
If you're not getting, you know, stuff from Pins and Aces, FOCO, all that, all those other free endorsements that we're putting out there, there's some other things that you might want to check out. Did you get a chance to, I know you were getting ready for the watch party for the Nuggets, big blowout victory on Sunday night. That was fantastic. But did you get a chance to watch any of the Rockies game? Or do you ignore the Rockies when they're being no hit?
No, I tend to tune in. Okay. I watched a little bit of it yesterday, but not overly. Like, Sundays is like a more of a golf day for me. So sure. I was tuned into the golf. It was a good tournament and it was intense towards the end. And I had a pretty big bet on the DraftKings Sportsbook on a guy to win. And he was in a playoff and lost. So didn't get that. But when they're getting no hit, I have this weird thing about the Rockies where I feel like they're impossible to no hit. And I know it's happened three times. We'll get into that. But I just feel like that's never going to happen to them. Yeah. No matter how quote unquote bad they are, just don't think it can happen.
At home, even less so, right?
No, yeah, because absolutely.
The outfield is just so large. You just got to throw your bat out there, put the ball in play. You're not trying to, you know, go for extra base hits. You just put the ball in play and it will find a gap or it'll just dunk in over the second baseman's head, whatever it may be. That's why it's only happened the one time there at home, Hideo Nomo.
Yeah, well, and thinking about it, this kind of just popped into my head. How many less no-hitters are we going to have in the MLB in general with no shift?
That's a great question. We haven't seen one this year. I don't know that we've really come close at all. But
what do you consider close? Like, when do you, as a baseball aficionado...
Seventh inning is pretty close, like, for Luis Castillo. But that's kind of, like, forgettable. Like, there have been several somewhat close no-hit bids in Rockies history, but the only one that I can really remember is Kyle Freeland's in 2017, right? Ubaldo in 2010, the only one with a no-hitter, does that in Atlanta. Fantastic. Walks a bunch of guys, but still gets the no-hitter, and then it's like Freeland's near no-no. After that, you know, they're I think maybe Chad Bettis maybe went once, like into the eighth, something like that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you know, it's not that memorable. It's also the person who does it. If like Scherzer, you know, takes a no-hitter into the ninth or even the eighth, you know, that'll get remembered a little bit more because that'll be part of his story and maybe his Cy Young bid, whatever it may be. But seven innings is close enough. There was a graphic on MLB.com saying, well, it didn't just say no-hitter. It also said perfect game. Rockies had never been perfected yet.
Okay, they never will be. I'm just going to make that claim right now.
Could be. Could be that it never happens. What was interesting with Castillo's perfect game in the seventh, we haven't had a perfect game in a decade. 2012 was the last time we had it, and the last person to do it was Felix Hernandez, also of the Seattle Mariners, also in that building at Safeco Field, not T-Mobile Park. So there were, you know, there could have been some ghosts in the building there to maybe help make that happen. It didn't. Jerickson Profar broke it up. So now Luis Castillo's name is not alongside Al Leiter from 96, also Hideo Nomo in 96 at Coors Field, and Clayton Kershaw, who did it back in 2014. So Rockies, you know, they stave off embarrassment just a little bit.
They got no hit twice in the same year. That's actually pretty hilarious.
Yeah, that's rough. That is definitely rough to see that. I don't know if you noticed, did you get a chance to go to the home opener?
This year?
A half ago? Yeah, Thursday.
Mm-hmm, I was there.
Nice. So Rockies won 1-0, only the 11th time in Coors history. There was a 1-0 game. Rockies have won most of those, believe it or not. The interesting thing that I ended up reading in Jason Stark's article where he loves all these weird statistical anomalies and stuff and had somebody actually look up how many in the history of baseball, there's a 1-0 game. The next day, has it ever happened that the first two hitters hit home runs. It had never happened until Rockies and Nationals. So Friday, Nationals first two hitters, Alex Call and I forget who was hitting second there, hit a homer after getting shut out the previous day in a 1-0 game. That had never happened in the history of baseball before.
Whenever you talk about anything never happening in the history of baseball, it's still like, I don't think there's that many things out there. I mean, obviously you can dive deep into a million different stats and find a lot of things that never happened, but pretty like you don't score a run for an entire day, and then that next game it's just immediate. The first, you know, was it the first pitch of the game or one of the first couple pitches of the game, they immediately score a run. So I just realized that, you know, the Rockies are 5-11 this year. I'm 2-0 though at games.
Oh, when you go?
Oh, actually, no. In my mind, I was 2-0, but because the Rockies were up 6-2 against the Cardinals when I was there.
Oh, no.
And lost, so
did you,
never mind.
Did you leave? Did you leave with the lead? Because then maybe you could salvage that.
No, I watched the whole thing, unfortunately. That was a backbreaker.
Rough. Yeah. Was that the Tuesday game or the Wednesday?
The Tuesday
game.
That
was Tuesday, so that started their 5-game losing streak, which they'll snap today. We'll get to that briefly here. In a second, but yeah, baseball, you know, with football, what, scoregami isn't that the fun thing?
Yeah.
You've never seen that score before. I think, you know, there's probably more baseball games in a single year than there have been NFL games all time. Right? I think that might make sense.
I mean, each baseball team, well, now that the NFL is 17 games, but each baseball team individually plays 10 seasons worth of NFL football.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, there's been.
Yeah, so I was like, way off on that.
Even in one season of 30, so that's, you know, 10 times 30, that's 3,000 season. One MLB season is 3,000 seasons worth of NFL football.
Wow. Yeah. And yet there's still things that happen in baseball. You go, that's never happened before.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's never happened. That's why you go to a game, because it's just, you never know what's going to possibly break out. Someone could get hurt, which is never good. There's been a rash of injuries among shortstops all around baseball. Corey Seager's down for the Rangers. Rolando Arcia from Atlanta. O'Neill Cruz, who would have been exciting to see.
That was crazy. That whole scenario. Like, that dude's so fun to watch, just being at like a judge-sized shortstop.
Ankle snaps, and then there's a brawl going on around him.
Yeah, and the catcher's pissed at him. He's like in pain.
That was very strange. So that was disappointing. It's funny, when Pittsburgh came last year, you know, it was kind of the same team. You know, they're a little bit more exciting now. You know, they got Connor Joe. We'll talk about your guy there.
My guy, he's back.
We'll talk about him. But, you know, they've got a lot of young guys. Not too many with swagger. And it was interesting that O'Neill Cruz, having made his debut last year, was immediately the most interesting player, where it was like, that's the only guy I'm down, you know, on the field during Pirates batting practice to watch. And he's just gigantic.
Yeah, well, you, as a team, like the Pirates, you know, they had McCutchen, now they have him again, which I didn't even know until I saw
him. That's fun.
But
that's cool.
But teams like that, and kind of the Rockies fall into that mold, where when you have a player that's that exciting, you don't rush their, you know, AAA, AA, but like, you got to have guys that people want to show up to the park to watch.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, been my whole thing with the Rockies this whole time, is like, everybody's like, oh, they signed Chris Bryant, that's stupid. Like, no. I go to the park to watch Chris Bryant now. Like, yes, there's other Rockies, you know, Veen, Tovar, guys that are coming up or guys that are up here that are fun to watch. But having at least a player on a roster that's just like borderline, you know, not necessarily a current superstar, but has been a superstar household name or projects that way, just helps every MLB team. Like, when you just roll out 9 dudes that no one knows or cares about, it's kind of like, well, it's a little lame. But baseball is a sport where, you know, pitchers can take over, one guy can take over a game, but a hitter, you know, you go 4-for-4, you have a couple doubles, a couple home runs, you can win a game for your team. So it's fun to watch those guys and see their development, because you see it more, you know, from single A, double A, triple A, but people that are just Rockies fans, you know, they have a knowledge of who's coming up, but once they're here, it's like, all right, let's see what this guy's got.
Yeah, and there's a lot of guys with upside too, so It's good that the Rockies are going through the growing pains right now with Tovar, who's struggling at the plate a little bit. But you'd rather see him out there learning. If this is a lost season, like, the owner pretty much said that before the season started. Hey, if everything goes perfect, maybe 500, and then everything immediately went to crap, right? Yeah, as long as these young guys are getting the opportunity to play, you can deal with those those growing pains. And throw Tovar out there, throw Montero out there, probably wouldn't have gotten that opportunity if Rodgers didn't get hurt. And you want to see more of those young guys get those opportunities. I think we will in the second half at some point, though. You know, the caveat to that is if this team really is headed towards 100 losses right now at 5-11, I think that projects to be 51-111. I don't know that they're that bad. I think I might have said they were maybe 102 losses would have been the worst case scenario for them. So, you know, they're just on a little skid right now. So I think they'll be slightly better than that. But if they are in danger of losing 100 games, I could see the front office and Dick Monfort saying, we need these veteran guys so that we don't lose 100 games, which is would be the silliest thing. It would be the worst thing for the franchise to not just say, this season doesn't matter. It's okay. If we really want to win a championship at some point, we need to start planning for the future. This is how we do that. We've already lost. Like, cut your bets. That's it.
Yeah.
Cut your losses.
One thing that I think is interesting about this season is, being a Rockies fan, you know, has watched since basically 2000, essentially, when I was old enough to compute what's going on. We always have, you know, they've had some runs. They've made, you know, made a World Series, made the playoffs a couple years back to back, or 17 and 19, I want to say, or something like that.
17 and 18 back to back, and 2007, 2009.
Yeah, okay. So two back to back years, they felt like they were, you know, I never felt like those teams were going to win the World Series, but it was fun to have playoff baseball back in Denver. But they always, every season, whether or not they win 80 games or 65 games, have like a god-awful stretch.
Yeah.
But that's usually like June or July.
And normally April.
Yeah, and they start the season like every year. Like even this year, they did it a little bit. It was a little less, you know, the first two games, you beat the Padres two games in a row. You're like, all right, cool, we're cooking. I'm an idiot. You know, I'm just that guy. That's always me. Like, I'm like, yeah, Rockies are going to be great. But maybe that June, July swoon of what they normally hit is just happening now, you know, and they're like, mark my words, they're going to go on a 9 of 10 tear at some point. With most of those games at home, maybe it starts tonight. You know, the Pirates are record wise good, but I mean, they're facing Rich Hill tonight, right?
They are like, facing Dick Mountain. That's right.
They are going to fucking destroy him. Chris Bryant hits his first home run tonight.
Whoa!
At Coors Field.
Let's go.
Was that, though? Like, they play games at Coors Field, or seven in a row. Everybody's talking about, I've had some arguments with some certain people in the media about Chris Bryant, you know, whatever. But he goes on the road, and then the first game just immediately hits one. I thought it was hilarious, because it's much harder to hit a home run at T-Mobile Park than it is here by a mile.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought that was funny. But I do think that the Rockies are going to run off a little streak, get me excited again. I don't know when that is. Hopefully starts tonight. Freeland has just been a rock star this year. Maybe back to 2019 form. We'll see. Or 2000, was it 17 that he had the really good year? 17 he had the almost no hitter, but then
17 year no hitter, got some Rookie of the Year award votes, and 2018 was his near Cy Young.
Yeah, this dude got
some
Cy Young. Yeah. Like, he's there.
Four guys in Rockies history have ever even received a vote for the Cy Young Award.
Really?
Kyle Freeland is one of those guys.
Can I guess the other amazing three?
Sure, you can try.
Okay.
One, no way. And then the other two are gettable, yeah.
Okay. Did you Baldo ever get one?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm 2 for 4. How about, did Sean Chacon ever get any?
No.
Okay. We're going, is it, I know, like, the Nagel Hampton, like, were big signings at the time, but
at the time,
but they didn't pitch well as Rockies.
No.
Okay, I'm lying. I don't have it.
2007, Jeff Francis.
Oh, I should have known that.
And then the one that it's forgettable in a sense, and it also stunk because the strike shortened season in '94. Marvin Freeman.
Oh, okay.
Marvin Freeman. And then there was also 1 year.
I was a fresh 1 year old at
and
that point.
And then you also have it in a really weird turn of events. And I'm obsessed with end of year award voting. Like, I'm obsessed. And then who voted, who like had those specific picks. And like, oh, everyone had Freddie Freeman as the second and third or fourth best player in the NL. And then one person voted him eighth. What is that person watching? We kind of have somebody that has that voting record, so to speak. And this person has I've already dug myself into a hole. Houston Street once got a MVP vote one year. And Daniel
as a
Bard,
Rocky or as a Rocky, athletic.
And Daniel Bard also got an MVP vote, I believe, last year.
Is so, this guy close to
I
us?
I don't want
to
talk about that. Well, what I want to talk about is the April 29th takeover. April 29th, good people. There's good people in the BBWA. I know. I'm one of them, one of the good people. But April 29th is the takeover. D-backs, Rockies. It's going to be a fun one. You get the new shirt, which I don't own yet. I need to, I might have to buy one of the tickets for the takeover. That's going to be my carpool. You guys can take me over to the stadium.
Yes.
We'll come back. I'll get a $15 concession voucher. I mean, I may just have to buy one of those. And I don't think I would get a discount. Diehards get 20% off when they order on DNVR Locker, whereas I wouldn't. I'm not actually a diehard, unfortunately.
No, but you fostered the diehard.
Oh, so maybe I could get a 20% hookup?
I can send you the link.
You know
for
someone?
That. Yeah, I know somebody.
Oh,
that does
okay.
That.
But that's not bad.
Takeover is going to be awesome. you know, bus to the bar or bus from the bar to the game. Literally, if you think about it, like you're getting a shirt, and like you're paying for value wise a shirt and what you would pay probably less in parking, and you're getting a shirt, a game ticket, $15 concessions. And a bus to and from the game with free beer.
Damn.
So it's like the value is there. It's a Saturday Diamondbacks. It's a little, you know, all city matchup, a little division matchup. I'm excited for it.
D-backs are fun. And you're going to save any kind of money if you make any, you know, poor choices in driving home, because we'll take you back here. That'll help you out. And again, you're going to be with the diehard community, and we will not let you embarrass yourself by tackling the mascot or running onto the field and incurring some kind of thousands of dollars of a fine, because you're with the diehard community here at DNVR.
We got your back.
We've got your back. Yeah, all kinds of really great deals. 15% off when you're hanging down at the bar. Even if it's a watch party for the Nuggets, you're going to get 15% off if you're a diehard. So many really great options and opportunities for you. NBA playoffs, we know what's going down. $5 bet on the NBA money line. And when you win, you get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You don't have to wait. They're going to hook it up right away. You got Jokic. Is he going to do triple-double in the postseason? Whatever it may be, you've got a lot of different options for that. You got the same game parlays, multiple legs, stack them on top of you one another, and you make even more money if that comes out. And if you make a really good bet, DraftKings will come to you, knock on your door, and say, hey, can we just give you something for it now and just kind of call it? So you can even get paid before waiting out an entire season or waiting out the end of a series, whatever it may be, if you really make yourself a very shrewd and smart bet.
I love betting baseball. It's like one of my faves.
Baseball's fun.
I love live betting when I'm at the stadium, and like you can live bet every single
balls
pitch.
And strikes.
Yeah. Every ball in play is always a fun one.
Mm-hmm. The Nerfy, no runs first inning, which is always good.
I stay away from those as a Rockies fan.
I nailed it last week.
Oh,
did you? On Monday's game, I nailed it, Mats and Marquez. I wouldn't do it today because of Rich Hill.
No, because the Rockies are going to hit a home run in the first inning.
Yeah, I think the Rockies will score. Freeland will keep it quiet. But yeah, regardless of whether it's baseball or basketball, if you have a $5 bet when you use promo code DNVR, when you win on the NBA Moneyline bet, you get $150 in bonus bets. Kale, go ahead and drop me reading off all of the disclaimers, which I have no access to, unfortunately, because of our internet situation. Maybe see if I can dig it up while I tell you that my DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week is actually for the Rockies to win on Monday to take down the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, one of the things is if you just go for the money line, it's not bad. It's minus 140, so that's like a decent payout. But if you actually go and to the game lines, you'll actually notice that the odds will shift a little bit into your favor if you're into that. And so if you say the Rockies are going to give a run, so that means they have to win by two, which I think they will. Now, Rockies are minus 110 over the Pirates, so you're going to win a little bit more on your DraftKings Sportsbook pick of the week for that. And that's what I've got. That's what I've got locked in. So go ahead, make that bet. DraftKings Sportsbook. We've got a big old disclaimer. This is a good show. I've been enjoying myself. Download the app now and sign up with code DMVR. New customers can make a $5 pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if their teams win, which I've said. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. And I lost my spot again. Cool. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. In Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 and visit gamblinghelplinema.org. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 or older in most eligible states, but ages vary by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. As we were saying, a lot of shortstops are injured. You also have Paul DeJong, Tim Anderson. Hopefully he'll be back. But the Rockies have a shortstop that's just right on their bench, Alan Trejo. Thoughts on trading from an area of depth or an area of strength in this kind of lost season, trading maybe when the stock is high after Trejo had such a good World Baseball Classic, or are you just attached to Alan Trejo so much that you wouldn't do such a thing?
No, I would consider trading him, but the idea that if Brendan Rodgers was healthy and you have a guy that you can, like Ryan McMahon, that can play multiple different positions, I think Trejo right now is too valuable from a depth perspective.
Yeah.
Just can play different positions, is a pretty good bat overall. I would like to trade him if there's value there, but I think with the current situation, like, you don't want to absolutely destroy your depth or call somebody up from AAA that maybe is not ready to play second base or play shortstop or even third base if he needs to. You know, like, Montero is obviously slightly versatile on the corners, but not, like, you're never going to have him play shortstop.
No.
You know, that would be hilarious. But same with Rymack. You know, he can play second, but that shortstop position is kind of like, you got to keep that depth there. Let Tovar play as much as we want, you know, as much as you can. Let him work through everything. But the season's too long and there are too many variables for you to get rid of him at this moment. So at this moment, I'm going to say no.
Couple injury updates that we got on Sunday. Herman Marquez has been cleared to throw, which is really positive with his forearm tightness. So I really did believe Buddy and Herman when they both said post game and even the next day, like, no, we don't think this is going to be, you know, end in surgery. Feel good. Actually slightly better than the situation at the end of 2019 when he, you know, he missed maybe the final six or seven starts, but rebounded, you know, at the beginning of next year. So you always want to avoid that surgery. If he's gone and he ends up having to require Tommy John surgery, now you are on a path to 100 losses. But doesn't look like that just yet. So that was really great to see. Randall Grichuk and Daniel Bard, rehab assignments in AAA with the Ice Dopes. Bard did pitch on Sunday. One innings pitched. Give up a hit for Daniel Tatis Jr., who just absolutely dominated this last week against the Isotopes as he rehabilitates and comes back. The PED user, performance-enhancing drugs, will come back and be eligible to play on 420 because, you know, that's baseball.
It's amazing.
But three strikeouts for Daniel Bard. So that looks fantastic. Grichuk, maybe Tuesday we'll see him. Who are you most excited to see from that trio between Marquez, Bard, and Grichuk? Who can make the most impact coming back on the team?
Ooh, who can make the most impact, I think, is an interesting question because they haven't gotten a lot of chances to save games, but Pierce Johnson's looked okay. I mean, yep, he wasn't great in the tie game against the Cardinals, but I think Bard coming back just makes the bullpen as a whole obviously stronger,
yeah,
but also pushes a guy that's closing in maybe to the eighth inning and pushes the eighth inning guy to the seventh. Justin Lawrence has been great. So that makes, you know, your seventh, eighth, ninth strong. But the funny thing about having a good bullpen is you have to have leads for them to matter. So it's kind of like wasted on not having a lead if you don't have those guys. But Grichuk to me is just he's a fun player to watch. Like, yeah, he's a fun player. I like Jonathan Daza. I think he's been really solid. Him getting a hit on the DraftKings Sportsbook every night is like minus 400, especially at Coors Field. It's like not even worth taking, unfortunately.
He's the new Raimel Tapia, where at a certain point it becomes 1.5 hits.
Right.
And it's not even a half of a hit. You're like, oh, you just got to get one hit. It's like, no, he needs two hits for you to cash in on that.
Yeah, but I who's the better defender? Because I don't know off the top of my head. Grichuk's a pretty above-average defender,
Grichuk's
right?
Good. He can play center field, I think. And Daza's struggled a little bit, I feel like, defensively at the start of this year. But But Daza's is a better defender than Grichuk.
Okay, and that's you know, kind of going on the same path down a different road is the defense this year has kind of been.
It's been spotty.
And we...
It's been problematic,
we're
yeah.
not used to that. Like,
no.
The Rockies have been bad, obviously, in the past and had bad years. But, like, I feel like they make the plays they need to make. And, you know, without sounding too specific, because there's so many different... You know, we talked about this in the office the other day. There's so many different chain link things that can happen during a baseball yeah. game that can change the complex of it. The Rockies have lost, like, probably three games this year on one what feels like one play. It's not... But
true.
What feels like one play, and that's a 5-11 baseball team to an 8-8 baseball team.
Yeah.
So that part has been a little frustrating for me in general. You know, their athletes make mistakes. NBA players miss shots. You know, NFL quarterbacks miss throws. MLB players strike out. They make errors. But it feels like when you're trying to, you're already struggling to win games, mm-hmm. and you make play, like one single play just stands out so much in your mind from a game. It's like, dude, you. Like, we need to do all the little things correctly. And I feel like that's one of the biggest Rockies yeah. issues right now, is they're not doing the little things.
Front office, you could say, are not doing the little things. I mean, there's a notable baseball axiom that you're going to win a third of your games, you're going to lose a third of your games. It's what you do in that other third, is that's 54 games. So you're guaranteed to win 54 games. What do you do in those other 54 games that are close? And to your point, they've kind of been losing those really close games. I mean, maybe you say the home opener, right? 1-0. That could have gone either way, right? One swing of the bat, guy gets on base, boom, home run, and then you lose 2-1. But nevertheless, it's going to be those really close games that are super huge for him. Connor Joe returns to the stadium. Your guy, you came out the gate right away. His baseball savant numbers have been quite favorable. You know, he's hitting the ball hard, still running hard, doing the thing. Back with the Pirates, the team that originally had drafted him. Nearly a decade ago. Do you think the Rockies made a mistake in trading him, or at least at the time, and especially now when you kind of look at the roster construction, you know, there might not have necessarily been room for him in the outfield or at first base, and they got a pitching prospect. So, hey, you know what? Best of wishes, Connor Joe. Or do you feel like, no, they should have made room possibly for him in this outfield?
Yeah, I am never going to... I'm biased, but I'm keep team keep Kojo. We should have. Because then we wouldn't have had to sign Jerickson Profar.
No.
I know he's a right-handed... You know, Joe is a right-handed bat. Profar can hit from the left side. So that changes things a little bit. But I feel like you have... they're making move... That's a move right there that just didn't need to be made. That then they had to... Not only did they make that move for, you know, whatever reason, we can't delve into their minds, but now they're making a counter move that you could have just kept Connor Joe and you didn't have to make the Profar move.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if the Rockies were shopping, you know, a couple of their outfielders, maybe even Daza, don't know, but Connor Joe, Randall Grichuk, and maybe the return on Connor Joe is going to be better than Randall Grichuk, who you only had a year left on. And so you go, all right, you know, maybe we're not losing too much. Grichuk can stay a little bit healthier than Connor Joe has in the past. Of course, Grichuk is the one on the IL, not Connor Joe right now.
Yep.
But you say, you know what? Yeah, we'll keep Grichuk, trade Joe, and we'll get back, you know, a little bit more in a pitching prospect named Dylan Spain from the Pirates. Actually, no, that was Nick Garcia that they ended up getting in that deal. So who's starting with the AA Hartford Yard Goats? So yeah, we don't know. We can't see beyond those walls. For the Rockies in their front office, but they can flummox us quite a bit. What you might be flummoxed by, or you might not know a ton about, and you might want to learn a little bit more about, and that's the American Raptors. Fantastic team. You're Rugby Town USA, right down the road, Glendale. They have athletes who have never played rugby before, but they are athletes, so they can adapt, they can adjust. It's actually true of a lot of sports, like in the Winter Olympics, like bobsled and the skeleton. That's not something that kids learn. There's no bobsled league for kids to be in, at least not in America. Maybe Canada has something like that, or Jamaica. Maybe Jamaica now has bobsled leagues for kids. I don't know. But nevertheless, rugby is kind of one of those sports. Some young people do play it, but for the most part, look, if you're a great baseball player, basketball player, football, wrestling, whatever it may be, you can learn the game of rugby and get really good at it. And that's actually what the American Raptors are and what they do. You can go to AmericanRaptors.com, get some tickets for their upcoming season. Stream their games online. Colton Strickler, who hosts the weekly DNVR Rugby podcast, has some amazing interviews. He'll kind of teach you and get you into the game. If you're looking to learn a little bit more about rugby, especially if you're going down to Infinity Park, which is absolutely an amazing location. So you learn a little bit, you go out, have some fun, and do something this summer. If you don't want to go to Rockies games, if you don't want to go to Coors Field or support the Rockies, that's fine. You have another option in Rugby Town USA and the American Raptors. And Spence, you know, you've got some options too, buddy, because if you're swinging late on your fastball and you're failing to make hard contact, you know what? There's something out there for you. It's called Roman. It's the ultimate manager of the year. It's amazing. Roman is the digital health clinic for men.
It makes the hard moves.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
It makes the hard moves easier.
It makes the hard moves easier. I like that. See what kind of wordplay you can do with curveballs. Let's see if you can play with that one. It's a digital health clinic for men, Roman. It addresses a variety of those sensual health needs and offers genuine medication that helps to both achieve and maintain. Because look, if you're on the IL, you're not doing your team to any good, right? That's no good. The best ability is availability. Roman's going to help you out with that. They offer a personal health experience on their website, ro.co/DNVR. It's also in our link in our description. But ro.co/DNVR, complete the questionnaire, get diagnosed by licensed physicians, receive free daily discreet packaging, free delivery with daily discreet packaging, ongoing care, and so much more. To learn about how you can achieve your personal sexual health goals, go to ro.co/DNVR to get 20% off your entire first order. That's ro.co/DNVR. Illegal Pete's, you were giving out some coupons to some folks.
Yes.
And they were coming in, and people were very excited. And I was glad that they didn't turn right back around and immediately go to Illegal Pete's to eat. But now they had something later in the week that they could go to as their lunch, a little treat. Because Illegal Pete's, man, they do it right with their fresh ingredients, healthy ingredients, delicious. It's delicious stuff.
Illegal Pete's is one of my favorites. They sponsor a lot of our events. They're, on the takeover, they'll be there. We give out a lot of free chips and queso cards. So you can go into Illegal Pete's, you get your entree like you're already going to do, and then you get free chips and queso.
Boom.
And they do a ton of stuff with Nuggets and Avalanche and maybe Rockies too. I don't know for sure. But where if you're going to the game, you just show them your ticket and you get a free drink.
I remember that a while back when I go to some CU Buffs games on the hill at the Illegal Pete's that was there.
Oh, yeah.
Getting a little something for that. Yeah, check that out, Illegal Pete's. And it's also graduation season, of course, too, so they can do catering. They'll help you out in that way. It's the spot to go to for burritos, beers, and buddies. Illegal Pete's is amazing. The pitching matchup for the next 3 days, Kyle Freeland versus Rich Hill, has not been good in 3 starts. ERA north of 7. On Tuesday, Jose Urania versus Vince Velasquez, 5.40 ERA in 3-game starts, so another very winnable game on Tuesday. And then Wednesday could be the hard one. Johan Oviedo, nice young starting pitcher for the Pirates in 3-game starts, 2.45 ERA against Austin Gomber. So first one, you got to win, and you're going to win with Kyle Freeland on the hill. And then Tuesday is going to be a real important one to get, because Wednesday could be the harder victory. Strange to say that about a Gomber start and not a Jose Urania start, but nevertheless, the Rockies will not get swept in this series. Mark my word, they will not get swept.
No, we got Kyle Freeland tonight. We're going to win the first game of the series.
Done and done on that. I did ask around the office to see how many people were big book readers, and we have a lot of audiobook readers or audiobook listeners, and that's okay because Father's Day, Mother's Day is coming up. Got some baseball fans in your family. There's a couple books coming out that you might want to check out. This summer is an interesting book written by Tim Brown and former big league catcher Eric Kratz called The Tao of the Backup Catcher, because backup catchers, they make the baseball world go round. I mean, they seem like they're half of MLB managers. It's just taken from the perspective of a backup catcher, you know, the job that they do, the hardships that they face, their love of the game that doesn't always love them back when you're a backup catcher or a third string catcher and you got to go to the minors or you're a non-roster invite. I am really curious about, Spence, with this book, if, and I'm going to guess not, but will Eric Kratz go into any more detail about the Rockies and their alleged signed stealing in 2018. I don't know if you remember this, but he was on a podcast in the winter of 2018, and Kratz said that the Rockies were doing the exact same thing as a lot of other teams in 2018. He said that he was a member of the Brewers at the time, caught them, and we played them in the playoffs. Know how many runs they scored in a three-game playoff series in 2018? Not many people watch the NLDS. They scored two runs in the ninth inning of Game 2. They used to take a Theragun, those massage guns, and bang it on their metal bench. And they were doing the exact same thing from the TV. So there you go. If you think no one else was doing it, you are wrong. The difference is the Astros may have taken it a little too far, maybe a little too far, maybe continued to do it, or maybe it's just the fact that they won the World Series and everyone's pissed off about it. Rocky scored two runs in 27 innings. Again, not sure if you'd ever heard those allegations that Eric Kratz had put out there about the Rockies in 2018.
I had not, but I was at Game 3 and watched Yolish Chacin absolutely own us, and I was like, no way this guy's going to come in here in Coors Field and goose egg us.
It was snowy. It was cold.
It was very cold that day. The one thing that's interesting about... So can you quickly explain to me what the baseball has done for this new, like this, the new pitcher thing where it's like the beeping, or don't they have something in their ear, or was that just a test thing?
Yeah. So PitchCom allows the pitcher and the catcher to communicate with one another, which is really nice. Last year, just the catcher could communicate with the pitcher and say, hey, you know, here's the pitch that I want to throw and the location. Now pitchers, if they choose, they can have something on their belt. I want to say Shohei Ohtani might have it like in his hat. Or he has it somewhere where he's actually memorized the button, so he doesn't have to look down. He can just go from feel. It's like it's amazing. But it allows either the pitcher or the catcher to communicate the call. And so the catcher could literally be throwing the ball back to the pitcher, and the pitcher's already saying, hey, I want a fastball away on this. And that allows for the game to move a lot quicker. You're not looking at signs, and therefore you can't really steal signs.
That's awesome to
me. It's great.
That's great technology. So
hasn't been hacked just yet.
Is it right? Mm-hmm. You could hire someone, you know, deep in the IT world to hack that. But so basically, is it like the catcher will? Where does the catcher do it from? Do they have a little?
When it was originally introduced, a lot of them had it like on a forearm sleeve.
Okay,
and now I think a lot more of them have kind of put it on the top of their thigh, on their shin guard, so it's like protected a little bit.
Okay,
and then right when they go to squat down, or even when they're standing up, they can just go ahead and push that, hide it with their mitt. Pushed it on their shin pad, and then boom,
that's
they're ready to rock.
That's so awesome to me.
Yeah,
I love
great.
That. Because
it's wonderful.
I was a catcher as a kid, and so we always used to, you know, especially when there's a runner on second base, you'd have to, you know, mix up the signs and try to figure out, you know, even just in general, a third base coach doing like 95 things that don't matter, and then you just catch the one thing, you know. If it's a leg rub, then it's all this is on. If it's not, you know, I'm just like over there flailing.
That's it.
But yeah, that's one of the really interesting parts of baseball to me in general, is just all the extra, you know, because, you know, there's no huddle. There's no, you know, in football, you just huddle up and tell everybody the play. Like, there's none of that. It's all got to be communicated with. I used to even paint my fingernails orange, like do different things like that.
You were a catcher?
Yeah.
So your pitcher could see your signs a little bit better, right? Because there's kind of shadows there as you squat down between your legs.
Exactly. So, yeah. And my favorite sign of all time was just the one middle finger down. I only did it once.
Is that brushback?
That was a full dink.
Oh.
We threw AD right at this kid because he was... he had been annoying us for seven innings, and we were still ahead at the end, and I think we were up four runs, and there was two outs in the last inning, no one was on, and he was just chirping all day, so I gave the pitcher one, and he didn't actually hit him, he threw it behind him, but
okay, all right,
the ump had some words for us, we had some words for them, and then we just struck him out and finished the game. But
there you go.
It's always that part of baseball is so fun to me because when you're watching, even just as a casual fan, you have no clue what's going on there, but there's so many different things that go into, you know, not only is it just, you know, in Little League, it's like fastball and just try to throw a strike.
Of course, yeah.
Here, it's like, hey, no, I want this.
A lot of specifics
you know, column or, you know, box nine, which, you know, you got the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You want it, you know. So there's so many different options and so much strategy that goes into the game, which makes it, if you try to learn just a little bit of it and what goes into it, it makes it that much more interesting to watch.
Yeah. No, for sure. And again, teams want the edge by trying to get information that maybe they shouldn't have or not supposed to have. And that's the next book worth checking out that did already come out this winter, Winning Fixes Everything, How Baseball's Brightest Minds Created Sport's Biggest Mess. Evan Drellich, who now does more things kind of like on the business side, the less fun side, but he was a Houston Astros beat reporter, and he did break the Astros sign-stealing scandal. And so he kind of goes into those details about how things descended into corruption with never-before details of the broken management culture and the once revered leaders who enabled it and the scandal itself. It's changed the game a little bit. Certainly not what, you know, the Black Sox scandal was like in 1919. But nevertheless, it's still, you know, a black eye on baseball. We've kind of gotten past it. Baseball doesn't really even seem to care that much. That's partially why, you know, a lot of those guys were welcomed back into the game, and you didn't see any, you know, real lifetime bans for the most part. New book that I ended up seeing in a bookstore over the weekend. I didn't even know that it came out by a great writer from the New York Times, Tyler Kepner. He wrote that book, K, the story of baseball in 10 pitches, where he talks to guys who threw this, you know, a splitter, curveball, all that stuff. Fantastic book. Now he's got The Grandest Stage, A History of the World Series by Tyler Kepner. Synopsis is, what do some players like Madison Bumgarner, Derek Jeter, and Derek Ortiz, how do and why do they crave pressure? How do players handle a dream that comes up short? Kepner celebrates unexpected heroes like Bill Wamsgans. You're not going to be able to spell that one. Who pulled off an unassisted triple play in the 1920 World Series. Probes the mysteries behind the magic moments. Did Babe Ruth really call his shot in 1932 at Wrigley Field? How could Dennis Eckersley walk Mike Davis to get to Kirk Gibson in 1988? That home run that he hit on one leg. And bust some longtime myths like the 1919 Reds were actually much better than the Chicago Black Sox that threw the 1919 World Series. So I think that's almost a good, more short form book where you're not getting too deep into the weeds. You're getting little stories here and there. Maybe it's more of a bathroom book, but I sort of feel The Grandest Stage, A History of the World Series is something nice and very much digestible for a baseball fan that likes, you know, the history of the game and kind of smaller digestible pieces.
Yeah, dude, the history of baseball it's unmatched based on like other sports in America right now. Like, it's just one of those things where you can go back so far, and like we talked about earlier with certain records or things that have not been broken or not been done. It's so amazing that with how many games there are and all the little different things that can happen, how baseball has transformed into what it is now. Like, if you told a pitcher from the 1960s, hey, at some point, like, there's going to be a beeping in your ear or a buzzing and you're going to, you know what pitch to throw based on that. And, you know, you're going to only have 20 seconds to throw this pitch or anything like that. Like, it's evolved a ton, which it needs to. Every sport needs to evolve, but it's never a bad thing to look back at the history and see where baseball was just in general. And like you said, the ones talking about the World Series, I mean, even if you're not a baseball fan, like, the World Series is just, you got Joe Buck, and it's just so intense just listening to every pitch can change the game, you know, like other sports. I feel like sometimes, like, obviously there's certain plays that can change the game, but every single pitch matters. And that's what's so crazy about baseball being such a long season in general, is you feel like it's just like this long, you know. And they've even talked about other professional sports that feel this regular season feels too long, but you get to a point where every single pitch matters, every single, you know, at bat matters, like whether or not you're taking a pitch and letting a guy get to second base. Like, there's so many different things that go into the history of baseball, but also individual games that matter, that if you really are taking it in, it's like, it's just a whole different world.
And the players too, like the lives that they've led leading up to that moment. And, you know, having been a goat in the bad way, not the way it is now, like, look, you sucked. Like, you know, you're the scapegoat, really, in a sense. And some people who've overcome some amazing things. Look, if you want some more Rockies content, because that's what we do here. If you're watching this over on YouTube, make sure you throw us a like, thumbs up, all that stuff. Make sure you're subscribed to all the shows that we have on our channel. We got Nuggets show coming up. I mean, it's their time to shine right now. Avs time to shine. It's the Rockies time to exist. We figured it out. At DNVR_Rockies on Twitter. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter. Spence, let them know.
You can find me at Big Drive Spence on Twitter. I'm a good follow when I'm drinking. Not a good follow otherwise.
don't worry. It's pretty much 7 days a week. It's good content from Spence. You know, he backs it up. No, this has been a lot of fun, but you know what they say about baseball podcasts and momentum. It's only as good as your next show. So, of course, we will see you tomorrow at 1 p.m. on the DNVR Sports Channel here on YouTube.